Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so some of you are lamenting. Probably most of you are lamenting. You're angry. You're rejected, dejected, down in the mouth, upset, concerned, angry. Some of you are loving it. Boy, this is a good day for you. Finally, Trump is gone. And we're off to see the wizard and all that kind of stuff. And so a mixed bag today. And you would expect that in a country that's literally split right down the middle, deep and wide divide right down the middle of the country. And so no shock there. But here we are some 240 years later in another peaceful transfer of power. Much ado about nothing, turning Washington, D.C. into a military state in terms of the massive military presence there. And less than 1,000 people at the inauguration. They had the mall covered with all kinds of flags and stuff to make it look pretty and nice. But in the COVID world and in the Biden-Trump transition world and everything else going on, just bizarro, the bizarro world today. But never fear, okay? Be of good cheer, okay? Our country has convulsed back and forth literally since our birth, right? Right when they wrote the Constitution before they got it ratified, immediately you have the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. And that's the way it goes. You have Cain versus Abel. This is nothing new because there's nothing new under the sun. So hopefully your house is built on the rock and it's not built on the sand of Americana or even the presidency of the United States or even the Constitution for that matter. As much as I love that document, love it enough to teach it every year, just be of good cheer and remember whose you are and what you are and what your ultimate purpose is and what your ultimate home is, what your ultimate kingdom is. And that should help you as we go through this. A lot of different things going on today. Obviously, I've got an interesting article I'm going to go through because I think it's worth noting. This was in, I think, the Boston Herald by Howie Carr, which is this whole list of thanks for everything, President Trump, and different thank yous that he had in there, which I thought was impactful and helpful to remember. Whether you love him or hate him, there's some great things that happen. And then you've got this, how Biden hopes to use executive actions to address America's compounding crises. All depends on what news source you're reading these things from. But I wanted to go through that because a lot of this is happening fast and furious today. And since I'm a constitutionalist, Christian first, constitutionalist second, just a reminder, you're going to see all kinds of executive action. And if you're a constitutionalist, you got to go, hey, do we love executive action? Well, generally you do, and it's your guy or gal with the pen. Okay? But as soon as the other guy or gal are at the pen, you don't like executive action. So executive action from a constitutional perspective, it can be a little wonky. It's a little out of control. Again, just remember, it's all a matter of whose ox is getting gored. So if you're mad about Obama's executive power and then you love it with Trump and then you're mad with Biden or vice versa, you got to think constitutionally going, okay, we need to be concerned about executive power. Does the executive have too much power versus Congress? And so these are things that you continue to weigh and work through. But we've gone through mechanizations back and forth, up and down, right and left, literally since the beginning of this country and since the beginning of mankind against our own creator, right in a perfect situation. And that wasn't good enough for us. We wanted to have a little bite from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so this has been going on literally for thousands and thousands of years. Nothing new. Under the sun. Remember that. So a lot to go through today, but I wanted to start with this. I told you the other day that the 1776 commission and project that Donald Trump did under his presidency, they put that up just recently, about a 45-page PDF document off the whitehouse.gov website. As soon as Joe Biden, President Biden, got to get used to saying that, and I know that not my president and all that stuff. I'm setting all that stuff aside today, okay? But as soon as he said, so help me God, or however he ended it, they probably hit the delete button on this, the 1776 report. But I thought it would be apropos to read you something right near the beginning, starting near the bottom of page one. I actually have this as a PDF, by the way. So if you didn't get it, I'm sure you can still find it online. But if you want me to send you the PDF of it, just email me, okay? Steve at thestevenobleshow.com. That's it. That's my. You can email me whenever you want about whatever you want. okay, in terms of show content, things you like, things you don't like, that's fine. I'm happy to do it. I'm not Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, so you'll actually get to me quite easily. So if you want to send me an email, if you want to ask for that PDF, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. Okay, bottom of page one on the 1776 report, a good reminder for all of us. Comprising actions by imperfect human beings, the American story has its share of missteps, errors, contradictions, and wrongs. These wrongs have always met resistance from the clear principles of the nation, and therefore our history is far more one of self-sacrifice, courage, and nobility. America's principles are named at the outset to both be universal, applying to everyone, and external, existing for all time. The remarkable American story unfolds under and because of these great principles. Of course, neither America nor any other nation has perfectly lived up to the universal truths of equality, liberty, justice, and government by consent. But no nation before America ever dared state those truths as the formal basis for its politics, and none has strived harder or done more to achieve them. Lincoln aptly described the American government's fundamental principles as, quote, a standard maxim for free society, unquote, which should be, quote, familiar to all and revered by all, constantly looked to, constantly labored for, and even though never perfectly attained, constantly approximated, unquote. But the very attempt to attain them, every attempt to attain them, would, Lincoln continued, constantly spread and deepen the influence of these principles and augment, quote, the happiness and value of life to all people of all colors everywhere. The story of America is the story of this ennobling struggle. And so the struggle, my friends, goes on. We've often heard that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, right? You think this kind of freedom, this kind of nation just happens. You think you hold onto it easily, that if you get the right guy or gal in office, you get the majority in this house or that house, you put enough of the right judges on the benches, that all of a sudden it's smooth sailing. It hasn't been smooth sailing since the Garden of Eden. So don't expect heaven on earth until Jesus comes back himself and establishes it. And that's awesome. And one day he will. And until then, we struggle. We fight. We stand up. We act as salt and light. We live primarily, first and foremost, as citizens of the kingdom, and secondarily, here in the American context, trying to be good American citizens. And just because there's a peaceful transfer of power, which is a praise, it really is, it's a praise, especially in the face of 25,000 National Guard troops, that doesn't mean that there isn't work to do. I thank God for a peaceful transfer of power. But the battle of truth versus lies and darkness versus light and what's good and what's bad goes on, and that's not news. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Trump is out. Biden's in. Peaceful transfer of power, and we should all thank the Lord for that, just in and of itself, okay? So remember that. That's unique in world history, that we have a country that can swing as far to one direction as it does the other direction and can do it on a dime. Literally, Donald Trump, I watched all this morning when he got on Marine One for the last time, and they kind of fly around D.C. a little bit, then they go to Edwards Air Force Base. And then he gave what I thought was an excellent impromptu comments there, maybe 7 or 8, 9 minutes, something like that. I thought he was magnanimous. He was humble. He wished the incoming administration, he hasn't said the word Biden once. He wished the incoming administration luck and success. And I thought he handled that really, really well. I thought his speech yesterday, if you haven't heard his farewell speech, which was on video yesterday, it's about 20 minutes long. I listened to it after the show was over yesterday. I thought that was excellent. I thought that was Donald Trump in a great form, humble and serious, but still bold and proud of the accomplishments of the administration, which I would echo. And then, you know, people are like, he's not going to give, we're going to have to get the military to throw him out. No, that the guy became president and decided to do it, not because he had to, not because he needed to, but because he wanted to. And I think he does fundamentally care about the state of the nation. I think he cares about most average people in America. And then, you know, he unlocks the tempest and gets his family, as well as himself, of course, just excoriated and attacked mercilessly for 5 years. Yes, some of that he brought on himself. The guy gives as good as he gets. And when you have a bulldog in the room, you know, stuff's going to get messed up. that was part of the reason that a lot of us hired him in the first place, was to come in and be a disruptor. And so that just kind of goes with the territory. And so be in prayer for the president, outgoing and incoming. Okay, let's put our faith where our word is, because we're supposed to pray for those in authority over us. And I was praying this morning, Lord, do a work in Donald Trump's life and his family. And for I don't know what the status of is any of them in terms of their faith and being born again, but pray that this would lead to all of them being born again, and that God would do a great work in Trump's life, and use him in however way he sees fit, and that Donald Trump would surrender himself more and more to the will of God, the word of God, and the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Amen. In Jesus' name, right? Amen. That's a great prayer. And then I turned around and I was trying to be obedient to the call of Scripture to pray for those in authority over us. So I prayed for now President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. It was an interesting moment when Justice Sonia Sotomayor mispronounced Kamala's name, called her instead of Kamala, Kamala. And then Kamala said it the right way. That was just an interesting moment. And with Bill Clinton falling asleep in the background. And I prayed for him that they would bow the knee. They would bow the knee. Make a claim of faith. Okay, that's one thing. Show me your faith by what I say. What you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do, James said. And I prayed for them. And you need to pray for them too. So let's put a little, our mouths to where our word is. And let's pray for them right now, shall we? As much as you're like, I'm out of here, Steve. I'm not ready to do that. Be very careful with your theology right now. I saw something on Facebook earlier today. Somebody said, yeah, man, God really let us down on this one. Nah, be careful, little human peon. And that's me too, by the way. I'm a little peon human being. So I'm not going to look the creator of heaven and earth and my savior in the face. And boy, you really let me down on that one. Now, I can't judge this person's heart. I don't know where that's coming from other than they did say it. So I said, be really careful with that, as if God is as beholden to our whims, to our desires. Well, he'll give you the desires of your heart, but only so much as your heart lines up perfectly with his. And so you pray for things that are in accordance with his will. And obviously, this was in God's will because it happened. And so, well, Lord, I'm really disappointed. I'm going to have to give you a C on this one. I'm just telling you, be really careful with that kind of attitude, all right? Be careful. I can't judge this individual that put it on Facebook, but the words were a challenge, and I thought I needed to say something, so I did. And allow this time of darkness and difficulty and challenge to shape you and to strengthen you. I'm going to finish the show today with 7 truths you need to cling to a divided nation by Becky Beresford on crosswalk.com. I thought it was excellent and a good reminder for all of us. But let me go through this one first. This was in the either the Boston Herald or the Boston Globe by a guy named Howie Carr. Thanks for everything, President Trump. And I just I went through here and highlighted things that I think, you know, we need to remember and be thankful for. These are great accomplishments. Thank you for restoring the U.S. as the world's leading producer of energy. Thank you for destroying genocidal ISIS, right? Which Obama called the JV team, right? Thanks for shutting off the endless flow of illegal immigrants at the southern border and the unending supply of M13 gangbangers, among other criminals, as well as the welfare-dependent, illiterate indigents who were so destabilizing American society before you became president. Okay, see, now when I read stuff like that, I'm like, oh, come on, dude, really? Now, for me as a Christian, do I need to sit there and talk about people that come into this country like that? Illiterate indigents? Well, they are, Steve. Okay, check your heart. Okay, check your heart. Thank you for promoting economic policies that led to the lowest unemployment rates ever for blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Native Americans, and women, among others. It's awesome, right? Pretty good for a racist, right? Tongue in cheek. Okay, you with me? Thank you for doing more to promote peace in the Middle East than all your predecessors combined. Man, incredible, miraculous stuff. Just recently, it's amazing what's happened there. A lot of that's going to get undone because Biden most likely and his administration is going to try to get back in bed or in good graces, quote unquote, with Iran. And all these nations are getting together with Israel as a way to oppose Iran. So that'll be interesting. Thanks for finally standing up to Red China and its predatory trade practices. Thank you for Operation Warp Speed. Thanks for pardoning all the persecuted victims of the Russian collusion hoax. Thanks for eliminating Obamacare's individual mandate. Thank you for taking more questions from almost always hostile reporters than all of the last 3 or 4 presidents combined, which is true. Isn't that amazing? Because he loves the fight. But we haven't had presidents in 20 years that were willing to face off against the press as much as he was, even when it's like 95% negative. Thanks for getting the U.S. out of such foreign policy disasters as the Iran nuclear deal, the Paris Climate Accords, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as well as ending the fiasco for American workers that was NAFTA. Well, we'll see how long that lasts. Thanks for a booming economy that 7 million people got off the food stamp rolls. That's awesome. Thank you for not turning the IRS into an instrument of persecution. That's what happened with Obama. Thanks for ending state oppression against people of faith like the Little Sisters of the Poor. Yep, big deal. Certainly is. Thanks for these three new justices on the Supreme Court. Think how much worse Hillary's picks would have been. I still think most definitely true there, okay? Thanks for defending both the First and the Second Amendments and for railing against Section 230. That's the one that keeps Twitter and Facebook at all from accountability. Thank you for appointing U.S. attorneys who actually wanted to put real criminals in prison. Thanks for the balance on my 401k. Thanks for the lowest gasoline prices in decades. Thanks for the largest number of Americans with gainful employment since the government started keeping records. Thank you for ordering the elimination of two of the most bloodthirsty terrorists on earth, al-Baghdadi and General Soleimani. To borrow a line from the last hurrah, how do you thank a guy for a million laughs? And this one, thanks for all the amazingly entertaining rallies, if not for bringing back the Village People's song, Macho Man. So, a lot to be thankful for what happened in the last 4 years. A whole lot of that's going to be undone. Some of that today, we'll talk about that next. Some of it will take a little longer. What's going to happen in Congress? I don't know. But I know God rules the universe with his feet up. And he's not pulling out his hair today, even though many of us are. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, alive and well. Hope you are, too. Patriotic, wonderful, best, honest, legendary, great, marvelous, the best, resilient, patriotic, greatest, accomplishments, achievement, courageous, great, exceptional, fantastic, greatest, great, loyalty, awesome, enriching, patriotic, courageous, awesome, best, excellent, fantastic, MAGA, awesome, great, patriot, courageous, patriotic, stolen, awesome, spectacular, amazing, great, incredible, awesome, great, hero, magnificent, God blessed him, great, awesome, patriot, president, transparency, MAGA, magnificent, tremendous, greatest, on and on and on it goes. That was, I posted that on my personal page and as well as the radio show page on Facebook, so make sure you get involved there, The Steve Noble Show on Facebook, my personal page just under my name as well, but I do a lot of interaction, a lot of back and forth. On both pages, personal page, and I asked that question on both. One word to describe the Trump presidency, my word today for the Trump presidency was disruptive, and I think that covered a lot of it. Steve Day sent me a text this morning about a tweet that he put out. Here's the main accomplishment of the Trump era, in my opinion. We now have clarity. We know now who everyone is. He's the most clarifying force I've ever seen. Everyone has revealed themselves. No more wolves in sheep's clothing. That's now up to us to what we do with that revelation. Well said. I agree with that. To put it in another phrase, everybody's out of the closet now. Everybody's cards are on the table. In D.C., you know who's who and who's for what and who isn't. And especially in leadership across both parties, you know. All right? Everybody's out of the closet now. No secrets there. Matt Walsh said this. He's with Ben Shapiro. Now is not a time for despair or defeatism. The battle is in the culture. We can fight there and win if we care enough to put in the effort and make the sacrifices. We still have numbers on our side and more power than we think if we choose to use it. One huge thing is education, Matt Walsh wrote. This was a tweet from earlier today. Most conservatives send their kids to be brainwashed in public schools. We talked about this yesterday with Sloan and Aaron about what was going on in the public school system. And I think we do need to have a movement. Even more so, I'm a longtime homeschooler, to pull our kids out of there. Get them out of there because they're learning to hate the nation. That's why we were talking to Sloan and Alexander yesterday about Education First Alliance. So if you're here in North Carolina, you need to be a part of that. EdFirstNC.org is that website they were on yesterday. EdFirstNC.org, Education First Alliance. About dealing with that, this is what Matt Walsh said. One huge thing is education. Most conservatives send their kids to be brainwashed in public school. They don't have to, but they do. Pull them out, form co-ops, and the cultural ramifications would be tremendous. Like I said, it's a sacrifice, effort, but it can be done. Yeah, I'm with you. Totally. Because that's what's happened here. We're losing a generation that's like the Joshua generation who did not know God because they weren't taught about him. You just can't assume this stuff gets passed down. It doesn't. And you have an enemy out there in terms of an enemy on the ignoble parts of American history and the beautiful things about our nation. You got to own the garbage with the good, okay? The up with the down. It's like your personal resume and my personal resume. There's ups and there's plenty of downs. Even though I'm born again, saved, just as if I had never sinned. But there's all that garbage on my ledger, and you need to be honest about it as a person and as a nation. Charlie Kirk put this up. I love America more than I love politics or any party. Now, Charlie Kirk, if you didn't, turning point, is a born-again Christian, okay? I pray Joe Biden will do what is right for our country. I am skeptical, and I can almost guarantee he won't. But nevertheless, I sincerely hope he does what's right for this, the greatest country on earth. Pray for our leaders. I'm with you. So what's Biden up to? Okay. Stop border wall construction. That's happening today because Trump did some maneuvers via executive power to fund it. And that's done today. And the Muslim travel ban. That's what they call it. The Muslim travel ban. Banning unlimited travel from countries where, you know, there's a large concentration of terrorists who almost are always Muslim. But this isn't an anti-Muslim ban. That wasn't the point. The point was trying to keep terrorists from getting into the country easily. And just about every terrorist in the modern world is a Muslim. Talking about the international situation, okay? Rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement. That's going on, but it'll take 30 days to go into effect. And the Keystone Pipeline. And revoke oil and gas development at national wildlife monuments. Count non-citizens in the U.S. Census again. Rejoin the World Health Organization. 100 days masking challenge. That's what he's going to do. You can't mandate it, but he's going to encourage everybody to do it. Extend eviction and foreclosure moratoriums. Continue pause on student loan payments. Defend Dreamers programs for undocumented young Americans. Change Trump's arrest priority for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Keep protections for a group of Liberians in the country. Restructure federal government coordination. The COVID-19 pandemic. He's going to reverse the Mexico City policy so we can start spending our tax dollars around the world for organizations, giving money to organizations that include promoting abortion. That's the Mexico City policy. He's going to roll back virtually every executive action for the cause of life that Trump has put in place in the last 4 years, including giving back $50 to $60 million a year to Planned Parenthood. There's all kinds of things. I will be praying for President Biden, but I will be opposing just about everything that his administration does. Not out of hate, but out of truth and concern. Okay? And that's real. And that's the deal. And we've seen this before. Like I said, there's nothing new under the sun here. And then, of course, legislatively, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on there. A slim margin won't make things easy for Biden, particularly as moderate Democrats such as West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin continue to oppose ending the filibuster. It doesn't mean Biden's agenda has a real chance. With the filibuster rule in place, legislation requires a filibuster-proof 60-vote majority to pass the Senate, meaning Biden and Senate Democrats will need at least some Republican support for their agenda or pursue some policies through an obscure Senate loophole known as budget reconciliation. And believe me, Schumer knows how this works because this is Mitch McConnell did the same thing, which allows certain legislation that affects primarily taxes and spending to pass with a simple majority, which is what they want. Will they go nuclear option on everything and reduce everything down to a simple majority vote? Well, it's a 50-50 tie, Steve. Well, yeah, but then you in a 50-50 tie, the vice president of the United States, who is now Kamala Harris, casts the deciding vote. So they would get everything. But they have to do away with the filibuster, which is called the nuclear option to do that. We'll see if they will. But in the meantime, by the way, Chuck Schumer said, I think just yesterday, that he was interested in going back and doing the power sharing that they did, I think, in 2001 or so. I think it was during the first Bush administration, 43. And they had co-chairs of every committee in the Senate and co-speakers, you know, heads of the Senate, the majority leader and the majority leader, because it's 50-50. He said they're going to do that. We'll see if they actually do. And we'll see what Mitch McConnell does. I don't have a lot of faith in him. I never have. Got the $1.9 trillion economic stimulus. The same plan also hiked the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. By the way, the only companies that get out of that, the minimum is you got to have two employees and be doing at least $500,000 a year in sales. But $15 minimum wage up from like $7.25 will have huge ramifications. It's going to cost a lot of jobs. It'll help some people get out of poverty to be sure, but there's going to be a lot of low income people that make that all of a sudden they're going to, businesses, in order to maintain their bottom line, are going to have to change their structure because you're going to double their cost of a lot of their employees, okay, if they have those types of employees. Biden's immigration plan, on and on and on it goes. Okay, a ton of stuff going on out there. By the way, did you notice today, if you didn't watch it, I did. One of the things that's going to be interesting is I bet the national anthem will be back in style now. There's not going to be as much kneeling, most likely, because what's that ultimately about? I think it's more about a worldview and a political agenda than anything else. So if all of a sudden you have the White House and you appear to have Congress, you might not want to make as much trouble for your team. So Lady Gaga was out there today doing the Star Spangled Banner national anthem. Well, she's got a great voice, right? It was a stirring rendition. She looked like she was right out of Hunger Games. As soon as she walked out, it's like there's everybody else and how they're dressed, and then there's Lady Gaga, and then she had this big dove with a fig leaf or something in the dove's mouth, huge thing on her chest, up near her neck. And it looked, if you ever watched Hunger Games, it looked just like Pan Am, which was the the capital of the whole Hunger Games world. And they had like a little Mockingjay was this insignia, and it was just kind of amusing. COVID reporting will lessen, definitely. The 1776 Project, like I mentioned, is gone already. So if you want a copy of that, I have a PDF. I can email it to you, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. Okay, cancel culture. That's going to continue to ramp up. Did you hear about Mike Lindell? Now, I get sick of MyPillow commercials, okay? Truth-telling here, they're all over the place. But now you're not going to be seeing MyPillow in Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's and Wayfair online. They're dropping it. So the cancel culture thing, even though President Biden is talking about unity, those are just words. That's not going to be the play. And they're really going to use January 6th to continue to sow discord in the nation and use it. Because if you're not for the Biden agenda, then you're like the people that stormed the Capitol. You're either or. There's only one camp or the other. That's the way this is going to get played. And I know that because of political history and human depravity. And you put those two things together, and this is what you get. But be of good cheer. Don't let your heart be troubled. And when you hear Hannity say that, he's just quoting the Bible. Don't let your heart be troubled. Be not dismayed. Remember whose you are and that there's always a bigger plan at play. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Forever I'm discovering. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Please go to the Facebook page. The Steve Noble Show. We're on Facebook Live right now here in the studio. And I just put a couple of links up. We had our friends on from edfirstnc.org yesterday, Education First Alliance, which is here in North Carolina, trying to pull hundreds of kids out of the public school system and provide scholarships and help them, plus training for kids and learning about the actual history of the nation, an unbiased, straightforward look at our country, as well as boot camps for parents. They're doing all kinds of things. I'm just encouraging you, get involved. Love Life. We're still doing Love Life live every Saturday, and then we're going to be having people coming back to the abortion clinics across America. So you can go to lovelife.org. I'll be talking about that more as we move into February. So don't. I think it's fine to lament. I think it's fine to work through your anger and your disappointment. I would encourage you not to shake your fist at God, because Joe Biden is not in there without God allowing it. And you got to remember that, and you got to trust in that. But do something. Okay, don't just sit around and complain. We got a whole nation full of apathetic complainers. Don't be one of them. Engage. Find something. Ask the Lord to show you where you can serve, where you can give, where you can make a difference. That's what he's going to. You think God's going to hold you accountable for the state of the nation? He isn't. But he is going to hold you accountable for every word that comes out of your mouth, including my own. I'll be held accountable for every word written, spoken, tweeted, whatever, posted. And I mess that up on a regular basis. I'm going to be held accountable for all that. It's not going to cost me my salvation, praise the Lord. But find a way to serve and to give and to be a good Christian witness, especially as things get bad, and I believe they will here in the nation on a lot of different levels. What a great opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ and be salt and light and to work for things that the government can't get in the way of, at least not yet. You know, who are you mentoring? Who are you praying with? Who are you serving? How are you engaged with the poor? The poor is all over the Old and the New Testament. That's close to God's heart. The poor and the downtrodden, the fatherless, the widow. I mean, what are we doing on that front? I mean, if we spend as much time serving as we do posting, or if we spend as much time praying as we do posting, whoa, we would be a force to be reckoned with, I think. So that's what I'm going to continue to do here on the show, is I'll try to get as many different ministries and things in so that you can know what God is doing out there. And I'm not going to talk about politics every day. I've talked about it a lot for the last 4 or 5 months because of where we're at and what's been going on. But I'm going to start turning that corner again, and we're going to fire up Theology Thursday every week again, and talk about, just kind of dig into the Bible and dig into theology, because that's should be the foundational issue. You got to make sure your theology is healthy and good and biblical. And then the things that the world will throw at you will bounce off, because you're going to have a shield, and you're going to have a belt, and you're going to have a spear or a sword, and you're going to have a helmet, and you're going to have the right shoes on. Okay, you're going to have your Ephesians 6 get up ready to go, but you got to make sure your theology's healthy. And like Anita just said on Facebook Live, the darker it gets, the brighter God's light shines. Amen. So let's take advantage of that. Okay, I saw this the other day. I wanted to finish with this. And then tomorrow and Friday, I'm going to spend some time opening up the phones, because I want to give you an opportunity to just kind of voice what you're thinking and what you're feeling. I don't want to deny you that. It doesn't happen normally. You know, you're tuning into all the different shows, talk shows, stuff on digital, stuff online, and you're listening to what everybody else thinks. But I'd like to listen to what you think. So I'm going to do that tomorrow and probably again on Friday. I'll open up the phones to talk about this transition we're dealing with in America. And I'm trying to really hold myself back on talking about QAnon and all these people that were prophesying this and prophesying that. And then I expect for a lot of those folks are just going to change it. There's something else going on. This is all exactly what, and then there's coming next. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Anybody that's down that road, QAnon, or you're struggling with all these prophetic voices, that things that they've prophesied aren't coming true, let's go back and where are you studying the most? What's your intake? What's most of our intake? Is it filtered through a biblical worldview? If you don't have a strong biblical worldview, you're not filtering well, and you're going to get all kinds of garbage in there. So this would be a good time to get back into the Word of God, okay? If you lose your political control, which as a conservative, we just did, stay in the game, but advance your faith. Shore up your foundation. Get back to the Word of God. 7 truths you need to cling to in a divided nation. I thought this was really good. So I'm going to go through these 7 before we run out of time. 7 truths to cling to while the nation is divided. This is in a blog post, so I'll put it up as well. God loves us all, number 1. God loves us all. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Psalm 103:8. There are no exceptions here, dear friend. Christ died for the entire world, and it does not matter where you stand on the political spectrum. God's passion is the same. I put that up on Facebook earlier today. I'm like, listen, this is a devastating political loss, but the big problem is still most people are hellbound. Most people are lost. Not the right or the left. Lost. Eternally lost. God loves us all. Unlike us, he is always full of mercy and grace. He's slow to anger and anchored in unending love. He wants everyone to come to him and experience freedom in its most beautiful form. Absolutely true. And we, as God's children especially, are called to love others like he loves us. Number 1. Number 2, God is our confident hope, and he won't disappoint. I know you feel disappointed today, but we have to deal with that and trust God with that. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. Anytime we place our hope in anything besides our Creator, we will be disappointed. All right? Don't you know? We all know that now, right? Place your hope in your health. Place your hope in your family. Place your hope in your job. Place your hope in your 401k, your net worth. Place your hope in QAnon. Place your hope in a prophet. You're going to get disappointed. That's just the deal. Candidates, leaders, government systems, or ideas, everything outside of Jesus will fade. But when we look to God as the source of hope, we'll be filled with peace and joy because our confidence rests in our lasting relationship with him. He's our rock who won't be shaken. The same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Is your house built on that rock? Or are you really getting blown about by the winds here lately? Check your foundation. Number 3, Jesus is supreme and victory belongs to him. Amen. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. That's Ephesians 1, 21 to 22. When I watch people, the blogger writes, rush at the Capitol, this verse rang through my mind. The enemy wants us to remain divided and stir up hate within. But the devil has already been defeated because of Christ's death on the cross. We should be focused on the victory of Jesus, and he stormed the gates of hell. All authority and power has been given to our Savior, and it does not matter who sits in the Oval Office or any seat of earthly leadership. Jesus reigns, and Satan doesn't stand a chance. The devil will work tirelessly to make us forget who has already won, but we know who sits on the throne, and our loyalty lies with him. I'd like to put it this way. This is a dust-up mission. The war is already won. Jesus said it is finished, and it is. Now it's just a dust-up mission. Yeah, we got to deal with the enemy and all that garbage. But one day, Jesus will come back, and then all that stuff will be done. So remember that. Number four, God's children need to pursue unity in Christ. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. Man, I really needed to hear this. Bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you all were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. You don't sacrifice truth for unity. But I think a lot of us have just chucked unity out the window because of politics. Can we get together and worship the Lord and study his word and love on one another and serve one another without bringing up politics? Yeah, we should be able to. That's a beautiful thing. That's, if you're going back to an open church, like we are, we're going to Cross Assembly here in Raleigh, used to be called RFA. I tell you what, when I go in there on Sundays and I'm worshiping the Lord with other brothers and sisters in Christ, not all of whom voted the same way I did, it takes me away. It's like Calgon, take me away. It takes me away from all this earthly garbage. It's this great, beautiful respite, this rest area from the troubles of this world. That comes through the bond of Jesus, the body of Christ, and the unity that we find when we're all looking at the same source of truth. Not MSNBC or Fox or whatever. Not this commentator or that commentator. The Word of God. It's only then, in this crazy, mixed up, messed up world, that we're all playing off the same sheet of music. We might apply it differently. But when we get into the Word and we're praising the same Lord with our mouths and with our spirits, man, that's so healthy. It's so good. Satan has done a fantastic job of pitting believers against each other for the sake of politics, like it said here. We don't need to agree on everything, but we do need to be kind. Boy, I need to hear this. We don't need to trust everyone, but we do need to forgive. Society wants us to define each other according to our political party, but the only definition that matters is whether we're a treasured child of God or not. There are Democrats who are Christians, just like there are Republican believers too. If we say otherwise, we're choosing judgment, which is meant to be handled by God. Instead, we're called to stand together in one spirit with one purpose, fighting together for the sake of the good news. Number five, God's the ultimate judge and payback belongs to him. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Wow. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Romans 12. Number six, do not fear even as things get uglier. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, 1. Beautiful. And point number seven, fix your mind on what's eternally true. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we now see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. Wow. As heartache hits our homes and crisis compounds our nation, it's encouraging to know these things will not always be so. Amen, amen, and amen to that. Seven truths you need to cling to in a divided nation. I'll put that up on the Facebook page, the Steve Noble page. This is Steve Noble. And God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, this is good to hear today, ever forward.